Last Sunday, I'm sure you'll remember that I spoke on Daniel, the story of Daniel, and I called it Thanksgiving in the Lion's Den. What an unusual place to be giving thanks. Even though you might remember Daniel had done everything right, Daniel was a man who did it by the book, God's Word. He was a man who was faithful to God in every way. You remember he was conspired against and left for dead in the lion's den. But even though he knew what would happen to him, he still was obedient to God. He prayed with thanksgiving despite the consequences. Well, this morning, I want us to turn the page, so to speak, and look at another person who had unusual circumstances through which to give thanks. And this time, it wasn't in the lion's den, but somewhere altogether different and even more unusual. This morning, I want to speak about Jonah. Jonah is one of the prophets of the Old Testament, the minor prophets, they call it. If you're looking for it in your Bible, he's hidden in there just a little bit before your New Testament, okay? I think he's the fifth of the minor prophets. And story of Jonah. And as you know, it all started one day when God told Jonah that he needed to go to this great city of Nineveh and preach to them, to bring them a message of God. Now, Jonah was a prophet of God, and it was his job to listen to God's word and to communicate it to people. That was what he was called to do. He was called to bring people to obedience to God. And in this case, he was the one being challenged to obedience to God. Kind of interesting how it works. Story of Jonah, he was called to go to Nineveh. He was called to obedience. But instead, Jonah chapter 1, verse 3, it says that Jonah headed to Tarshish to flee from the Lord. To flee from the Lord. Now, in case your geography isn't as good as mine, is as good as mine, in which case you won't know it. Nineveh and Tarshish were at opposite ends of the known world. They were at extremes. They were at opposite extremes. It's kind of like God telling somebody in Ontario or Manitoba to go to Newfoundland and they end up in Whitehorse instead. They head to Whitehorse. You know, it's something like that, right? God says, go to Newfoundland, and I'm going to go to Whitehorse instead. It's that kind of an extreme, okay? And Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. The people of Nineveh were a mean bunch. I mean, they were not nice. They were known for their cruelty, and I won't go into all the grisly details, but let's just say that if you were captured alive by the Assyrians of Nineveh, you'd probably wish that you were dead. It was not one of the top 10 holiday destinations of their day. And it was to this group of people who were an enemy to the people of God, an enemy nation, that God is calling Jonah to go to. And Jonah is probably thinking, yeah, right, God. You've got to be kidding me. You want me to go and say bad things to the people of Nineveh, to their faces, no less, so they could kill me slowly and painfully. Needless to say, it didn't excite Jonah to go. And so Jonah headed to Tarshish to flee from the Lord. He got on a boat, and he headed across the waters, as I've already said, in the opposite direction. And I'm sure you know the story. A violent storm came up, and verse 5 says, all the sailors were afraid and each cried out to his own God. They cried out to their God for help and mercy and safety, and that didn't solve any problems. And meanwhile, Jonah was sleeping, by the way. He slept through it all. Typical Jonah. I was going to say typical guy, but there was lots of other guys on that ship, obviously. They cried out to their gods, and that didn't solve any problems. So verse 5 says they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. That still didn't help. Then one of them came to the conclusion that maybe all of this was happening because God was angry with one of them. And so verse 7 says they cast lots to see who is responsible for this calamity. It turns out that it was Jonah. So they haul up Jonah, and Jonah doesn't deny it. In fact, he readily admits it, and he has the solution. The solution is get rid of him, toss him into the sea, and everything would be fine. Well, these sailors must have had some decency in them because they didn't want to throw the man overboard. They knew that that would be a certain death. So they tried all the harder to row to shore. But the harder they rowed, the scripture says, the wilder the storm grew. Finally, verse 15, not being able to bear it any longer, it says they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. What a transformation. All of a sudden, the wild storm ceased. And everybody must have been wondering, what happened? Where's Jonah? And they look overboard, and he's not there anymore. Jonah's been swallowed by a great fish. For 3 days and three nights, Jonah was inside this massive creature. Now, you might wonder, being the logical person that you are, how Jonah could live for 3 days inside a great big fish. Right? You probably wonder that. The answer is, I don't know. But, I do know this. I do know that the God who can take a clump of dirt in the ground and breathe at it, and it becomes a living human being named Adam, could find a way, if he wants, to keep Jonah alive as long as he wants, wherever he wants. And so Jonah was in that fish for 3 days, and in case Jonah's in there, and what else are you going to do? Right? What do you do in a fish? Right? You have lots of time to think, right? I mean, what else are you going to do? You think and you pray. And that's what Jonah does. He's in there, he's thinking, what did I get myself into? You know, what did I do? Where did I go wrong? And he's thinking, and what did I mess up? And, oh, man, you know, maybe I should have gone to, no, I don't want to. No. And he's torn, and he's praying, and he's talking to himself, and he's talking to God. And, you know, being swallowed by a great fish would have that effect on you. And after all his thinking and praying and wondering, he comes to a conclusion. It's there in your Bible, chapter 2, verse 9. And he says, I, speaking of himself, with a song of thanksgiving will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And this is what I was referring to earlier. What an unusual place to be giving out a song of thanksgiving, right? In the belly of a great fish. And he says, I will sacrifice to you. In other words, I'm going to bend my will to your will. I'm going to be obedient to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I'm going to follow through, Lord God. You called me to be a prophet, and I wanted to run away from that, but I will follow through with that. If that is your wish for me, desire for me, Lord, just get me out of here. Something happened within Jonah, and he obviously had a change of heart. He realized he was wrong. He realized that he was trying to get away from God, that running away from God is not a good idea. And so there, he repented. And then verse 10, chapter 2, verse 10 says, in response, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry ground. Well, I'm sure one of the first things he did after thanking God is he probably went and washed himself a little bit. And then Jonah goes to Nineveh, as the Lord had commanded him earlier, and he preaches to the people. He prophesies to the people, and he says, in 40 days from now, Nineveh will be no more. It's going to be destroyed. He preaches God's wrath that is coming. And the king, the people who he was so afraid of, instead of responding with anger at Jonah, the king, he repents. In fact, the king and all the nobles decide that everyone in Nineveh needs to repent. They're having a revival. They put on sackcloth to show their humility, and they pray, and they give up their evil ways, the scripture says, all in the hope that the Lord will relent and not bring about the destruction that he had proclaimed. Sure enough, God, being filled with compassion and grace, accepts the Ninevites' repentance, and he turns aside his wrath. The people are spared. Nineveh stands. Jonah has done his job. He's obviously done it well. Everyone is happy, except Jonah. He's actually rather ticked off. He's angry. I mean, why is God sparing these people? These rotten, miserable, good-for-nothing Ninevites who mock God and rejected Him and scorned God. And what is God doing showing mercy to these heathens? Yeah, he wanted the Ninevites to get it. He was so upset, he tells God he would rather die. And it seems that Jonah wanted Nineveh to perish. And because God didn't take Nineveh, he was like, well, you might as well take me. I don't want to face anybody anymore. And Jonah learned a lesson there about God. And we'll get to that in a moment. But before we do, I want us to look at another truth that we learn from this story of Jonah. And that is this, that running away from God is not a good idea, and it will always land you into trouble. And I say it's not a good idea because, seriously, if you think about it, how do you run away from God? Adam and Eve tried to do it. They tried to hide from the Lord. Good luck. How do you do that? Jonah, he tries to flee from the Lord. Chapter 1, verse 3, as it said, flee from the Lord. Think about it. It's impossible. Where did he think he would go? Psalm 139. If you have your Bibles, go there with me for a moment. Psalm 139, verses 7 to 12. Wonderful scripture. Look at what he says. He says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Where can I flee from God? Well, I can't. And obviously, Jonah wasn't thinking straight. Which, incidentally, isn't very uncommon. When we're running away from something, we don't always think straight. In fact, we seldom do. Not only does Jonah not think straight, he lands himself into a heap of trouble. First the storm, putting all the other people at risk, then the fish, and then he had to face the Ninevites after all. He tried running away from God. Running away from God was neither a good idea nor a safe idea. Now you might say that that's all well and good. And you might say, I have no intentions from running away from God. And besides, God isn't calling me to be a prophet anytime soon. And that might be very well true. But I can't help but wonder if there aren't some other ways in which we might try to run away from God. If there aren't some other ways in which we might try to avoid God's call or God's work in our lives. I don't know, maybe God is sometimes calling us to change something in our lives. Maybe He's calling us to change something in our behavior, the way we do something. And instead, well, we just ignore God. We put Him on hold, so to speak. We change the topic with God. Or maybe God is calling us to be more public in our faith. Maybe not to be rude about it, but to be more open about our faith. And, well, it is easier to keep it under a bushel. And maybe God is calling us to forgive someone. Right? I mean, we see that so much in the Scripture. To forgive someone who's hurt you. But instead, we hold on to our grudge. Is that a way of running from God? Is that a way of possibly running from what God wants to do in your life? Maybe God is calling you to a place of quietness and prayer. Maybe God is saying, you know, that quiet time of prayer and meditation and reading God's Word is lacking in your life. And we put that aside. We're so busy. Maybe God is calling you to a specific ministry. Maybe God is calling you to preach the Word or to go to a certain place or to use your spiritual gifts according to His will. And we push it aside, put it on the back burner. You see, I think there are lots of different ways where we can potentially run from God or run from His will, His desire for our lives. And so while we won't be tempted as Jonah was to flee from one place and go to the other extreme, I can't help but wonder if there aren't ways in which we today are challenged, are tempted to run away from God's will for us. And as it was for Jonah, it is for us. It's neither a good idea nor a safe idea. The end result will always be frustration and regret when we try to run away from what God is trying to do in our lives. That's the bad news. The good news, as we see also in the story of Jonah, is that God is ready and eager to forgive, to give us a second chance. And this is really the hallmark of our faith in God, a faith that God does not want anyone to perish. He doesn't. That's why God sent Jonah to the Ninevites. Did they deserve it? No. Do we deserve God's grace? No. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, He, that is God, is patient with you, me, the Ninevites, Jonah, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God's will is to give us all a chance. We see it in the example that Jesus gave. You might remember the story that Jesus told about a shepherd who owns 100 sheep. It's in Matthew chapter 18, verse 12. Jesus asks, if one of them wanders away, one out of 100, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go look for the one that wandered off? Well, yeah, he will. God does not want any to perish. We see it in the life of Jonah. Jonah turns and runs from God. What does God do? Does God write him off and say, well, I'll never use him again? Not at all. He gives Jonah a second chance. We see it in the life of the Ninevites themselves. Oh, these guys were not nice. Now, I'm sure there were some fairly decent people among them, but overall, they were an awful bunch. They turned against God. They mocked God. They rejected God. They embraced immorality. They scoffed. And yet, God did not give up on them. And of course, we see that same desire of God to redeem in the life and ministry of Jesus. Jesus said of himself in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. You see, God is a God of second and third and fourth chances. God does not want any to perish. And so while Jonah blew it, while Jonah tried to turn his back on God and run away from God, God still had his hand on Jonah. God still called him. God still wanted him. And God still gave him that opportunity to come back and to do what he was supposed to do, to be who he was supposed to be. And the good news for us is, it's simply this. If you or I or someone has been wandering away from God, running away from Him, or ignoring His call in our lives, or just missing the boat, the good news is it's not too late. God still wants to work in your life. God still wants to use you. God still wants to forgive you. Our part, like Jonah's, is to repent. Jonah was going in the wrong direction. And when he realized it, he stopped. Well, he had nowhere to go into the fish, but he stopped in his mind. He turned around and he said, Lord, I am available. If you would still take me and use me, if you could still do something about my life, with my life, I'm willing to be obedient to you. I'm willing to sacrifice my future for you, Lord God. Whatever you want, I'll do. And God took him and drew him and used him and worked in him. Now, he had problems after that. He had problems accepting the Ninevites. But that's a different story about Jonah. That's a different sermon. But God was ready to forgive. And he did forgive. And he did work. The good news is, it's not too late for you and for I. If we've been running away from God in any way, if we've been denying God, if you've been rejecting Him in one way or another, maybe turning from what God wants to do in your life, the good news is you can turn around. God can help you. God is ready to forgive. God is eager to give a second chance. That's the good news. But there's more good news. We got two rounds of good news today. It's not only not too late for you if you've been running, turning around from God, it's not too late for those around you either. Look at it this way. If Nineveh can repent, anyone can repent. The Ninevites were among the worst. If it wasn't hopeless for them, if God didn't write them off, if God thought about them so much that He sent Jonah and all the trouble that Jonah had to go through to get there, if it wasn't too late for the Ninevites, who were among the worst, then it's not hopeless for the people in your life and around you. You might have an alcoholic parent. You might have an abusive spouse. You might have children who terrorize the neighborhood. You might have a neighbor that's rather strange. There might be a friend of yours in prison, or that coworker who's always trying to make you look bad. The extra good news this morning is that if Nineveh can repent, anyone can. No one is hopeless. Our part, by God's grace, is to be gracious and compassionate and perhaps most importantly, obedient to God's call in our own lives. We are called to be administrators of God's grace. We are called to be a light. We are called to care, to share, to love. And the good news for us is, not only is it not too late for us, it's not too late for those around us. Will you pray for them? Will you pray for yourself? Will you call out to God and say, God, how could you use me for the furtherance of your kingdom? If we could do that, we will save ourselves a whole lot of trouble, like Jonah learned the hard way. Let's pray. Father God, we just come to you today, and Lord, we recognize that we're not all Jonah. We're not all called to go and preach to Nineveh. But Lord, there are different ways that you call us and that you want to do your work in our lives. And Lord, there are times when we might feel that it's easier or better just to run away from that. Father God, I pray that you would help us today to be people who embrace your will, as challenging as it might be, Lord. For you promised that when you call us, you will go with us. And Lord, where we are unable to do something, Lord, you will enable us. Where we don't have the words to speak, Lord, we trust that you would put the words in our mouth. And Father God, I pray that wherever we are, whoever in our spiritual lives, Lord, that we would embrace you and welcome your will in our lives. And Lord, for our loved ones, for our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, Lord, we pray that you would touch them as well. And Lord, if you could use us in some way to minister your grace to them, Lord, I pray that we would be receptive to that as well. We just pray for your will to be done. In Jesus' name, amen.